Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
This program is sponsored by the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. This is Alan Churchill speaking. Today, the Reverend Don Crisp, pastor of First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, will be bringing the message. Welcome, Don, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Alan. It's great to be back.
Today, Don is bringing a message entitled, Keep Your Eyes on Jesus. But first, let's listen to a powerful medley. It's called Face to Face.
Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Shall be home.
And now, Don, will you minister the word to us?
Thank you, Alan. Today we're going to begin in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But let me say, first of all, this message is entitled, Keep Your Eyes on Jesus. Now listen to the words of Jesus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Here, as we begin this journey, we go now back to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. And we find the people of Israel wandering in the desert in this chapter. Moses' brother Aaron has just died. The people wanted to proceed through a passage, probably a shortcut to the Holy Land, no doubt. But the people of Edom would not allow this to happen. So the Israelites went around Edom, and Edom had a mighty army there to make sure they couldn't go through. But know this, they were not alone. God was with them. He continued to present himself to them, a cloud by day, and indeed a pillar of fire at night. We begin our reading in Numbers 21, verse 4. They traveled from Mount Or along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient along the way. They spoke against God, and they spoke against Moses. Now listen to what they said. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Alan, there are a number of life lessons from this that I want us to touch upon. Let's look at life lesson number one. It's called impatience. I believe that impatience reveals a lack of trust. It's like saying to God, Lord, this journey is taking too long, and the fact is we're lost, and your promises of providing for us have fallen short of our expectations. Oh, yes. Now, that kind of statement is not loving, and it certainly reveals a lack of respect and trust. Here's the truth. The Lord God is the one who leads, guides, and provides. Even as he provides for his people, we know that we live out our lives on planet Earth, and we need to trust him. But sometimes our words reveal the true attitudes and the real condition of our hearts. Listen to their words again. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? Have you ever said that to God? Well, maybe not those words, but how often have you caught yourself saying, Lord, why? Why this? Why now? Why me? Lesson one is about impatience in life's journey. We do need to trust in the Lord. Life lesson number two. We will begin to understand this as we listen to this. We live with the consequences of the choices we make. Therefore, we must learn to choose carefully and prayerfully. The people chose to mumble and grumble and whine and complain. As spoiled little children, they chose to be disrespectful, rude, and indeed unloving. We need to be clear about this. Because of a lack of trust, they grew impatient along the way, and then they said things that I'm sure they regretted later. Let's look at God's response to their impatience and their disrespectful words. Verse 6, Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. Well, if God was trying to get their attention, he certainly got their attention. The people responded to the snakes in a state of panic. The people came to Moses and said, We sinned against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. Now, at first hearing these words, that sounds like repentance. But I contend it is not true repentance. It is rather what I would call selective repentance. That's my third life lesson. Beware of selective repentance. Let's be clear about this. Real true repentance begins this way. It begins with remorse in saying, I am so sorry. Then it moves to responsibility, saying, I am wrong. And then restitution. We need to hear them say, I need to right the wrong. And then, of course, true repentance. I never want to repeat that wrong again. Notice that the people didn't say to Moses, We are sorry. We are wrong. We need to right this wrong. We must never repeat this wrong. No, it's very clear the people simply wanted Moses to ask God to remove the snakes. And then the text says, So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, Make a snake, put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look and live. So Moses made a bronze snake. He put it up on a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake looked at the bronze snake. They lived. there's lesson number four for us. Whoever looks lives. It's a picture of Calvary. It's a picture of healing. Listen to the words of Jesus again. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. In other words, whoever looks to the Son and believes in him will live forever. May I remind you that the word believe means trust? Which takes me to life lesson number five. It's a warning. Beware of religiosity. Let's fast forward 800 years from Numbers chapter 21 to 2 Kings chapter 18. Now listen to these verses. In the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut the Asherah poles. Now here it comes. He broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it, and they even gave it a name, Nehushtan. Did you see that? Did you hear it? For 800 years, the people of God had been carrying the instrument of God that he used for the healing of the snake-bitten people. Oh, yes, I can picture it. There they were for 800 years. They protected it. They polished it. They preserved it. They worshipped it. And they even named it. Rather than worship the Lord, the one who healed them, they worshipped the bronze snake on a pole. There's a warning for the church here. You see, it's so easy to worship creation rather than the Creator, to worship the building that we gather in rather than worship God and God alone, to worship the style of music we prefer rather than worship God. Oh, it's so easy to get distracted. This leads me to my sixth point. The final life lesson is really a reminder. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Let's break here and listen to Alan Jackson singing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus from his CD, Precious Memories.
Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. And turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. And turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
I began this message with the words of Jesus from John chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. Let's listen with our hearts. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus said in John 12:36, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Yes, we must look to the Lord Jesus for our salvation, and when we do, we will live forever. Jesus says that we must believe in him. Again, the word believe means to trust. Jesus is saying, whoever trusts in me will have eternal life. So allow me to ask you this question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you presently trusting him and him alone as your only way to salvation? Oh yes, the psalmist said in Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We must not grow impatient along the way. We must trust the Lord to lead, guide, and provide. Are you trusting in Jesus? Are you trusting in the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me and through me? It was June 30th, 1859, when the great Blondin, as he was known, the first tightrope walker to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope, when he pushed a wheelbarrow from the U.S. side to the Canadian side. We're told he used to put his manager on his shoulders and he would walk from one side of the falls to the other on a tightrope. This particular day he was pushing a wheelbarrow. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine watching? And as he pushes the wheelbarrow toward you, and then he stops, and if he said to you, do you believe I can do this? Of course, we would all respond, of course we believe it. Believing is seeing, and seeing is believing. And if he said to us, just hang on one second, I want to do it one more time, and he pushes the wheelbarrow back to the other side, and then he pushes the wheelbarrow back and stops right in front of you, and then he asks that question again. Do you believe that I can do this? And you say, yes, I totally believe you can do this. And then he says, then get in the wheelbarrow. You see, there's the difference between churchianity and Christianity. Christianity is getting in the wheelbarrow. Churchianity is standing on the sidelines saying, yes, I believe Jesus was born of Mary. Yes, I believe Jesus went to the cross. Yes, I believe he rose again. But get in the wheelbarrow. You're asking for commitment. I can't do that. My friends, have you gotten in the wheelbarrow? Have you come to the foot of the cross? Have you committed your life to Christ? Will you now pray with me to trust Jesus Christ to lead, guide, and provide for your entire life? Will you invite him now into your heart as Savior? And will you now invite him into your life as Lord? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you are the author and finisher of life. I come to you today, Lord, and I ask you to come into my life, to save me, and I ask you to come into my life and to be Lord forever. I give you my life right now, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Don, for your timely message. Now let us join all together as I lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, your presence is to be felt all around us. We bless you for the gift of life, for your protection, your guiding hand upon us, your steadfast love within. Thank you, Father, for your friendship, hope, and precious memories. In a time of trial, teach us to trust you. Most of all, we thank you for the saving knowledge of your Son, our Savior, for the living presence of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for the Church, the body of Christ, and the means of grace. Draw us together in warm fellowship. Our hearts are thankful for the wonderful country you have given to us. Let your gospel reign supreme around the world. Amen. Don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And thank you, listeners, for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. You keep us on the air week by week. If you can, please make out a check made payable to the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Mark it Good News Broadcast. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please also tell others about this program. You can find this and other programs of ours on the Internet by Googling the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries. Click on Ministries and then on Broadcasting. Also, some of my books are available over the Internet. Now, to conclude our program, here is Ray Bolts singing the Sinner's Prayer. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Lord, you've touched my heart today. That is why I've come to pray. You see all I have inside, all the things I try to hide. Jesus, I believe that you are there, and you're listening to this sinner's prayer. Touch this broken heart and make it new. I believe in you. Please forgive me for my sin, all I've done and all I've been. Serving you forevermore, every day you'll be my Lord. Jesus, I believe that you are there, and you're listening to this sinner's prayer. Knowing you'll remember what you've heard, I believe your word. In your name, this prayer will end, and I.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.